your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon, David Britton.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Not too bad. I sort of feel I sort of go partway through what I'm saying, you know, just
I'm in outer space.
Cosmonaut sounds.
That's the one.
Hey, David, just quickly, on Friday, I had Anthony Tonin come in and talk about the show that he's going to be doing at the Stardome very shortly, A Synthesized Universe, and it sounded very, very interesting, and he said it was almost sold out.
Well, in fact, we're adding two more shows.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, so
there we go.
It was Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, the 20th and the 21st and the 24th of March.
Mm-hmm.
But two more have been added on Monday, the 18th of March.
Oh, nice
6:30
one.
And 8:30.
Nice.
Yeah, so that'd be really terrific. So eight shows instead of six, so the same prices, $38 for general admission.
Awesome.
I think you've already probably talked to some of the listeners about this, have you?
Demand was high. Demand was high.
Yeah.
All right.
So have you heard his stuff yourself?
Oh, we love Anthony Tonin.
Yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. BFM are big fans of his music.
Oh, good.
So it's a good natural fit for our audience.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, because it's Under the Dome, all the wonderful images and so on of the cosmos.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, David, SpaceX crew Dragon are halfway to success.
That is a rad SpaceX name, by the way.
Yeah, this is SpaceX going back into space, this time not just with cargo, but with people on board.
A Dragon.
So that almost people. This mission, instead of an actual person, it's got a crash test dummy called Ripley, named after the alien character.
Perfect.
Ripley!
So that's got up to space. It's at the space station right now, so it had an automatic docking. The crew on the space station opened the hatch and have gone through into the capsule and checked it out and retrieved cargo from it. So that'll actually be returning on Friday. So successful launch, successful docking. So the next thing is to undock on Friday afternoon or Friday evening, about 8 o'clock on Friday, and safely get back to Earth. That's probably the difficult bit because it's going to get extremely hot and it's going to splash down in the ocean the way the NASA flights from the moon worked. But this time, instead of in the Pacific, it'll be in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida. So that'll be on Friday, so that's the big test to get it back, so it's halfway. So, I mean, this is really important, getting this to work, because since the space shuttle was retired in 2011, the Americans haven't been able to send anyone into orbit at all. What they did was to turn around and give contracts to SpaceX and to Boeing, something like, I think, $5 billion each, to develop the means of getting people back up. So this is SpaceX doing their thing. They'll have a crewed flight in July up to the space station. Boeing, meantime, they have a craft called the Starliner. It'll have a test possibly next month in April, uncrewed. Same sort of routine as what we just saw. I don't think they'll have a Ripley on board, but anyway.
Hmm.
And they'll be having a crewed mission up to the space station in August. So if all goes well, by the end of the year, there should be regular American flights up to the space station by private companies, NASA no longer involved at the spacecraft level anyway.
Okie dokie. The moon. Traffic to the moon.
The moon.
Moon traffic.
Sorry?
What? Oh, sorry. Carry on, mate. Carry on.
So we've got an asteroid sample coming back to Earth, David?
Well, it will be. The Hayabusa spacecraft at the asteroid Rigo, it did a little bit of a bounce. It went down to the surface, fired a little pellet into the rocks, which sent a rebound particles back up into the internal part of the spacecraft,
mm-hmm.
and it captured those, and then it lifted off. So it'll do that one more time, And then the third time, it'll actually fire a 2-kilogram projectile into the surface to try and get some deeper material. And at the end of the year, in December, it'll leave Ryugu, and it'll take a year to get back to Earth. So in December next year, it'll release a little capsule with these samples on board, and it should arrive in Australia
in December next year. Is it safe to bring back unknown rocks from space? Do you think they could have some sort of strange matter?
I like where you're headed, John. Yep. It's good. Could have an alien on it or something?
Absolutely. Of course, with the spacecraft itself, had to be perfectly clean so we didn't contaminate the asteroid. Mm. Works both ways.
Ah, okay.
So the samples, they've gone into individual little containers, and the spacecraft itself. The re-entry will burn off any possible bacteria on the outside anyway. They've already done this once from asteroid Itokara a number of years ago. Mm. So they're using the same technique. So hopefully it'll work just the same as it did last time.
Okay. So we've got nothing to worry about, and it'll be safely contained, whatever we bring back from deep space.
Have you seen that movie Life?
Yeah, I think they've got it pretty well contained, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sounds like there's heaps of risk there. Sounds
now,
good.
Now, there's a Virgin Galactic first passenger flight to the edge of the space happening.
Edge of the space, you say,
edge
John?
Edge of space.
The space.
The edge of space.
That's Mr. Space to you.
Well, it depends where the edge is. The usual one is called the Kármán line, which is 100 kilometers above the surface. So if you go that high, you can call yourself an astronaut. Others, like even NASA, make it 50 miles above, so that's slightly lower. But for Virgin Galactic, people have paid like $250,000 for tickets for quite a while. So there's a big queue of people wanting to go up and do this. So they had a flight on the 22nd that got up to 89.9 kilometres. It's not quite 90 kilometres. So it wasn't just the pilots this time. It included a passenger, in inverted commas, really, because... she was a test. She helps train the astronauts there and the pilots there. So she went up with them. Her name's Beth Moses, and so she was able to, when they got to the top of the flight, release from the seat and float around the cabin. She described it as a bit like doing a Spider-Man. It's all crawling along the ceiling. So she was up there. With them, strapped herself back in, and they came back down. So that's the first flight with not just the pilots aboard. So they're looking to have commercial flights relatively soon.
Are they calling these people astronauts? Because I just feel like we shouldn't really be banding that word around too much. What about temporary space traveller? I feel like you got to do a bit of study to become an astronaut.
Well, I think the idea is that for the tourists that they pay the sort of money... they will actually have some training. They're not just going to hop in and up they go.
Okay.
They have to pass medicals for a start.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they'll be doing or looking to do is to go up. The way this works is a big craft with two fuselages and a massive wing. And between the two fuselages is where the rocket itself hangs.
Right.
Okay, so that craft takes it up and then releases it at 43,000 feet, okay? And then the rocket fires from there, 13 kilometers up. Mm. So they'll take the tourists up to that height in the mothercraft and see how they get on and do a few maneuvers. So they won't just be getting straight in the spacecraft and going up.
Yeah.
That's the plan at this stage, apparently. So if you do go above 100 kilometers, you probably... can call yourself an astronaut because you've got above that line.
How long will you be flying around weightlessly for inside this?
About 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
Also, do you get to keep your suit? Are they custom made?
I'm not sure. I imagine for $250,000 you probably keep your suit, but I wouldn't be sure.
Maybe pay to soil it or something.
Yes, the first... non-technical person, I guess, to go up will be Richard Branson himself. He wants to go up on July the 16th. commemorating the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11. So that'll be the next really big date, I guess.
Nice. Now, the privately funded Israeli mission to the moon has had hit a bit of a glitch, and as they're about to shoot off toward the moon, all their computers on board restarted.
Yeah, they seem to have got it going now.
Yeah.
The way it they're getting there is they didn't just sort of fire a huge rocket and go straight to the moon. They're starting off in low Earth orbit, and they give it a burn, go a bit higher, another burn a bit higher. Is it like four different times? So it'll take 2 months actually to get to the moon. So it'll get there hopefully on the 4th of April and land on the 11th. But they had trouble with their pointing system. If you're up in space just floating around, which way are you facing? And so they have star trackers, so you know the orientation of the craft and which way it's pointing and so on. And what they found while up there is that the star trackers were being blinded by the sun. So a bit of lens flare from the, because the sun is extremely bright up in space. Space is black, the sun's extremely bright. You've got no cloud or anything to dim the sun. So it was causing problems with the pointing of the spacecraft. They seem to have got around that, but yeah, that was the main glitch, was the star tracker for navigation.
Nice.
Anyway, let's see if they get there and keep track of that one.
What a beautiful bit of irony, because the sun's a star, isn't it? So it's kind of.
It is.
Yeah,
it
I'm sure everyone's having a little bit of a chuckle behind the scenes there.
Now, what's up with the night sky at the moment, David? We've got the moon, we've got Mars, we've got Matariki.
After sunset, sounds cute as hell.
We have, in the morning sky, we've got Jupiter, Venus and Saturn in the northeast. But after sunset, the only planet is Mars, and it's quite low down. But on the 11th, 12th and 13th of March after sunset, Mars is low, but just up to the right will be Matariki. And the moon is going to pass by the three of them. So on the 11th will be left of Mars, on the 12th between the two of them, and on the 13th will be on the right-hand side of Mars and Pleiades. So now, if people have got a camera looking out towards the northwest, the low horizon, it's no good if you've got a house or a tree in the way, obviously. It'll be too low. You need to be up high with a nice low horizon. Might be a good photo op there. If you do a wide angle, you can get Taurus and Orion above there, which would be really marvellous.
Amazing, amazing. Now, coming up at the start, and we kind of briefly chatted about this, the fantastic Anthony Tonin is taking over the Stardome for a couple of nights. Four shows have pretty much sold out, so you've added... No, sorry, six have pretty much sold out, so you've added another two. Is that correct?
That's right. So Monday the 18th of March, two new shows have been added. So that can be bought online at stardome.org.nz. The other three days are pretty full, but I'm not exactly sure. If you can't make the Monday, then check out the 20th, 21st and the 24th. Mm-hmm. There may still be tickets available for that.
Handful, yeah. Okay, so you really need to jump on that one if you want to go to that show.
Absolutely.
All right, and the Autumn Stories in the Sky, is that something else that's happening at the Stardome?
We've got Autumn Stories in the Sky. That's our final installment. We've had the three other seasonal shows, so this is the final in the sequence. That's on at 6 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays through this month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the constellations, the interesting stories behind them in the sky in this quarter of the year through autumn. So that's a night sky story presentation. That's narrated by Lucy Lawless.
Oh, there you go.
So she tells the story, and the person who sort of brings it together is John Rhys-Davies.
Xena. Mint.
Yeah, so the two of them, between them, they tell the stories for the autumn night sky.
Fantastic. Hey, well, thank you very much, David. Everyone head along to the Stardome. Check it out. And we will check in with you in approximately a fortnight.
Approximately? I look forward to it.
We just like to use words like this when we talk to space people.
Yeah, well, it's really good to talk to such courteous people who say please and thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, mate. Over.
Later.
We are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.